you so much. It is always a joy to be with you and to share in this very special occasion to honor our very dear friends. And we just love, and I say this every time I'm here, but this time I'll say it while Pastor Rob's here, because usually he isn't when I'm here. But we just have such a love and appreciation for them. We consider them our dear friends, and we so look forward to the times we spend together. And is it Wednesday mornings now, Pastor Rob? We have a group that's been meeting for years, a small pastors group, and just one. It's one of the highlights of my week. I think you probably feel the same when you see my face walk through the door. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you know, there have been many times over the years of my years of pastoring that I've had to make an explanation for something. A couple of years ago, I'm either limping onto the stage or I've bandaged up, or a couple of years ago, I saw my hairdresser just prior to the service. I do every Sunday morning. It's my routine. I stand in front of the mirror and I have this clippers and I just buzz my head. And on that particular Sunday, the clipper guide that determines the length popped off, and I just went up the back of my head. So I had this swath about 2 inches wide up the back of my head, and no one seemed to notice it. So when I got up in the pulpit, I just stood up there and I said, okay, let's get this over with. And I turned around, and of course everyone laughed and teased me the rest of the day. But so let's get this over with. I was hunting last night. And I was so excited because I saw a big buck and I'd rattled him in, and it was just really cool. He was a monster and he's only 5 yards away, but I couldn't get a clean shot. He was moving. So I was excited to get in the house and tell Wendy about it. And so I went in my basement door and I went to discharge my crossbow, and I didn't realize that there's instructions on the crossbow. I kind of knew this, but you know, you take things for granted, and it says, keep fingers below string. And so I was in a hurry and I ended up with my thumb above the string, and it took a chunk of meat out of my thumb. I ended up spending some time in the ER, got about 7 stitches to keep it all together. But anyway, so I have a more effective pointer today while I'm speaking. But it is an honor to honor your pastors today. And I'm just very excited. I'm excited about what the Word of God says. You know, the Bible covers everything. Every aspect of life is covered. And it's important, as it was with my crossbow, to read the instructions. God has instructions about life, things that we should do, should not do. And all of His instructions are for our good. Sometimes we think, well, that's just, you're saying that because you're a preacher. No, it's for our good. And so I want to read a text today from 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at the first verse. And it says this: to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, notice that phrase, the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. I believe these verses show so much the heart of your pastors here in this church today. But I want to speak to you on this Pastor's Appreciation Sunday about showing honor to those who are your pastors. Now, I realize today I am probably preaching to the choir in many ways. I have observed the honor, the respect that you have for your pastors over the years. And, you know, I've always admired this church. I've always had such a respect for this church. One of the things that has always impressed me is the sense of family that has been built here. You guys are really a church family. Don't take that for granted. Not all churches are like that. Sometimes people just come in the door and say their obligatory hello or whatever and then leave. But you guys are really a really neat family. I've observed you at the wild game dinners. You know, it's a huge task. I don't have to tell you that. I know the kind of work that goes behind the scenes on those things. And I've just observed how you work together as a family, and I want to commend you for that. You are a real church family. Now, I also know that like any family, there are challenges with one another. God doesn't give you brothers and sisters that you want. He gives you the brothers and sisters that you need. And sometimes iron sharpens iron. That same is true of a husband and wife. You don't get the spouse you want. God gives you the spouse you need. There are rough edges that we both need to have smoothed out. But that's the same way in the church. And so I realize that being in a family includes sometimes the inevitable drama, the conflict that causes us to work on our issues and grow in our faith. But I want to commend you for a job well done. And I know that you're doing a good job out of that because of the example of your pastors. Now, this subject is an awkward one for a pastor to preach because we don't like to preach about ourselves or about how the congregation should treat us. It just seems a little odd to do that. But as a guest speaker today, I can come in and talk about these things. I should also say that the Bible, as you'll see, is not silent on these facts. I'm going to use Scripture for everything that I share with you today. Scripture deals with this subject, and so we have to deal with it too. And so today, while I address this subject of the responsibility of the church toward their pastor, I'm preaching to the choir in many ways, as I said, because I know you guys have a great sense of honor for your pastors. But let this be a great reminder. And so I thought I would address the subject as a pastor about your pastor. And besides that, I couldn't resist the wad of cash that Pastor Rob offered me if I preached on this. Actually, he is not the one who invited me. So he learned about it later. You know, in my message today, I'm talking about honoring your under-shepherd. And I've chosen that under-shepherd word very carefully. The text that I opened up with specifically refers to Jesus as the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. And while we often use the word pastor or shepherd to denote the leader of a local church, the real leader and shepherd of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we all know that. We pastors do not own the sheep. Jesus owns the sheep. We are responsible to have his heart for the sheep and to guide them, but ultimately, he is responsible for the sheep. Your pastor can never replace God. And while you have a connection to your pastors, they are merely representatives placed by God to care for you, to show God's love and care for you as the great shepherd. They are not God. And therefore, your pastors are incapable of meeting every one of your needs and expectations. They cannot humanly do it. All of us, whether we're pastors or sheep, we fall under the leadership of the great shepherd. And any authority that a pastor has is a delegated authority given to us by the great shepherd. So as a sheep relates to his local pastor, they're relating to the one who is the chief shepherd. He is merely the representative of God. So church history, of course, is full of examples of pastors who have either shirked their responsibility to lead or have abused their position. And you know the horror stories. I remember watching a video one morning in one of our prayer meetings about a pastor who got up and he was just beating his sheep, just deriding them and criticizing them and so on. So I realize that there are abuses in both ends, but it's a very, very serious responsibility that we have to honor our pastors. And so pastoring is not for wimps, I can tell you that. 2 weeks ago, I turned the senior leadership of our church over to Johnny. You know Johnny. And he's doing a great job already, at least these 2 weeks he has been. And we're just very excited about it, and we are still on staff at the church, and we just kind of changed roles. And we're the support staff now behind them, and we're doing some other things ministry-wise. But I want to share with you just some statistics about pastors that may surprise you. In America, every month, 1,500 pastors leave the ministry. They're so frustrated, they just walk out never to return to ministry. 1,500 every month. 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce. Now, that's no different than the rest of the culture, but 50% of pastors end up in divorce. 80% of pastors feel underqualified or discouraged in their role as pastors. 80% of the pastors you see are discouraged. 70% of all pastors constantly fight depression. And 70% of all pastors do not even have a close friend that they're able to confide in at any time. 78% of pastors have been forced to resign from a church at least once. And 63% have been fired from their church at least twice. 63% of pastors have been fired twice from ministry. Of those who enter the ministry, and this one's shocking, of those who enter the ministry in their 20s, only 10% will retire in ministry. 10%. 90% will get knocked off for one reason or another. And so with that in mind, I want to look today at the responsibility of the sheep regarding their shepherd. And this is not going to be a profound theological message. I'm not going to talk about eschatology, Pastor Rob, although he teased me and said I wouldn't be able to preach without talking about us, but I'm not. Anyway, but it's just going to be very practical. I'm just going to share with you from my heart in a very, very practical way. Scripture is quite clear on this, so I offer it to you as a reminder of how to honor your pastors today. So, I was taught in Bible college that all good sermons have 3 points. Did you ever hear that? This one has 6. So it's either terrible or doubly good. I don't know which, but I'll move through them very quickly. This is your responsibility to your pastors. Number one, be equipped by them. Be equipped by them. In Ephesians chapter 4, familiar passage, but it doesn't hurt us to hear it again. It says, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So what the Bible is saying here is that the gifts that God gives, the ministry gifts that God gives to the church, are given to bring the body to maturity. The pastor's responsibility is to equip you. Now, shepherds, in order to equip you properly, have to spend time eating themselves so that they can be prepared. The biggest part of my week over the years has been my sermon preparation. I spend a lot of time. You might think, well, gosh, how long does it take to get something ready to go up and talk for 45 minutes or whatever? It takes a long time. It takes a lot of preparation and so on. Sermon prep takes time. And Pastor Rob, I know, is a real thinker. We get together for our meetings. Sometimes he'll, like this week, he threw something out about Genesis and we were like scratching our head. We had an amazing conversation about the truth of God's word in Genesis. But while sermon prep is something that he does well, he lives preparing sermons, I believe. Shepherds cannot eat for you. They cannot eat for you. I'm amazed over the years how I hear people say of their church, well, I'm not being fed. I'm leaving the church because I'm not being fed. And usually what that means is they're pointing the finger at their pastor, and usually that's inaccurate. There are pastors who provide nothing but pablum, but most pastors know how to provide good food. And I know, in fact, as a fact, that your pastor does. However, your pastor can't eat for you. And the Sunday sermon should not be the only nourishment that you get all week long. How are you going to sit and listen to a 45-minute message and become a spiritual giant when you're not in the Word at all the rest of the week? Pastors cannot eat for you. And so you need to learn to feed yourself. Your pastor can lead you into green pastures, but he can't eat for you. Now, these ministry gifts, according to this scripture, are for the purpose of equipping people to do the work of the ministry. The pastor's job, and I know you've heard this many times, the pastor's job is to equip you for the ministry. The ministry is not his job or Jackie's job. The ministry is your job. They provide an example to the flock. They do ministry by the way they live their lives and love their neighbors and their interaction in the community and in the church. They're living as examples, but ministry is the responsibility of the local church. All of you are ministers who should be out there wherever God has placed you doing the work that God has called you to do. And so listen closely when the church gathers. Allow your pastors to equip you. Every message is strategically designed by God to produce a healthy flock. Listen closely to the message and then spend some time through the week chewing on what you heard. Take some notes or whatever and chew on what you heard and let the Lord bring it to life. So be equipped by them. The second point is be respectful to them. Respectful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13, Paul writes this, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work, and live at peace with one another." Now here again, we see extremes in the body of Christ, particularly where people are told to have a blind obedience to their spiritual leaders. You just do what I tell you to do. We've all heard the horror stories of pastors who throw their spiritual authority around and demand that people reverence them. I've heard pastors say when they're challenged about something, you don't have the right to say something to me. I'm the man of God here. Well, you don't do that. You don't beat the sheep. You love them. And I was taught many years ago, never use the pulpit as a whipping post to beat people. There have been times over the years when I've come in with my sermon notes ready, and the Holy Spirit has convicted me because there's something that I put in my notes, a point that I wanted to make about someone in a critical fashion. And I've had to remove it as God has convicted my heart and just not talk about it that day because my heart's not right. There's room for correction and rebuke and so on in the scripture, but our heart must always be to love and to encourage the sheep. And so the passage that I read you is very emphatic in the original. It says that pastors are to be held in the highest regard. And when they are respected in this way, it keeps the church culture in peace instead of chaos. So make sure that you are respectful. If you're in a church where a pastor is demanding and driving the sheep instead of leading them, I would advise you to get out. But respecting the office is necessary for your good and the good of the church. If you can't respect your leader, then find a leader you can respect. It's critical that we respect. Hold them in the highest regard. And by the way, leaders who constantly have to remind you of their authority don't have any. That's really the way it is. You have to always get up and remind you, I'm the one in charge here, then you're not really in charge. Leaders who understand that they are only the under-shepherds will walk humbly, and that's what your pastors do. And when they do, they will leave an example for others to follow. That's what being respectful is. Thirdly, be a faithful follower of them. be a faithful follower. Faithfulness is so critical. We've come to learn that the church is comprised of individuals who have a unique call on their lives. Our job as pastors is to help you to fulfill your God-given calling and destination. But there's also a vision and a calling and a destiny for every local church as well. You have individual callings, but you have a corporate calling, a vision for the church that you must pursue. And that calling is discerned by the leadership team that surrounds the pastor. And our job as members is to faithfully follow the leadership and be committed to doing our part to carry out the unique vision of the church. The pastor is the vision keeper of the church. He seeks to see that everyone's unique contribution is brought to the table so that the corporate vision can be caught by the congregation and fulfilled. Hebrews addresses this in chapter 13 and verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would not be a benefit to you. I used to read this verse as a young pastor in fear and trembling, and I'd think, you know, what would it be like to stand before God and give an account for the church? And it's a very sobering thought for a pastor, but then I realized when I read this one day that the weight of this passage is on the members of the church. It says the pastor will give an account of the members. God will ask your pastor what kind of member you are. Think about that. The admonition here is to make that job a joy for your pastor, not a burden. And don't forget, your pastor is not going to lie to God about the kind of follower you are. So it's a serious thing for us to show respect and to be faithful in following our pastor. You will be blessed in the process. The fourth point is be generous to them. Now, there's an old saying that sadly is true in some churches. It's been said concerning the pastor and his salary, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. How many of you ever heard that? Lord, you keep him humble, and we'll keep him poor. The truth is that some churches are terrible when it comes to paying their pastor. And thankfully, this church is not one of them. I would not want to stand before God one day in the shoes of the board members of some churches that I've heard about. Listen to what the scripture says here. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out grain. The worker deserves his wages. And so the proverb, don't muzzle an ox while he's treading out the grain, it's talking here about paying the pastor, about taking care of him. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul addresses it there in verse 7 again. What soldier in an army has to pay his own expenses? And have you ever heard of a farmer who harvests his crops and doesn't have the right to eat some of it? What shepherd takes care of a flock of sheep and goats and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? And I'm not merely quoting the opinions of men as to what is right. I'm telling you what God's law says. For in the law God gave to Moses, he said, you must not put a muzzle on an ox to keep it from eating while it is treading out the wheat. Do you suppose God was thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he also thinking about us? Of course he was. He said this to show us that Christian workers should be paid by those they help. And those who do the plowing and threshing should expect some of the share of the harvest. And Paul goes on in this passage to use an Old Testament analogy of the priests who worked in the temple. They took part of the sacrifices home. You may not have been aware of that. They took part of it home to provide for their own families. And then Paul concludes that by saying, in the same way, the Lord has given orders that those who preach the gospel should be supported by those who accept the gospel. So it's very plain here. I know my church board has been very generous to us, so that while we carried the weight of the ministry over the years, we were not living in lack. I mean, there's enough stress on the life of a pastor. You shouldn't have to worry about that. And so while you may not be on the board that makes the financial decisions, all of you count in this, because your weekly giving is what makes it possible. When you give your tithes and your offerings, you're paving the way to be generous to your pastor. And being generous, the church is going to reap the benefits of their obedience. So, take care of the needs of the pastor. Fifthly, be protective of them. Be protective of them. 1 Timothy 5:19. Don't even listen to a complaint against a leader that isn't backed up by two or three responsible witnesses. You know, the most destructive thing that a pastor faces is the destructive power of the tongue. And when gossip and slander are directed toward a pastor or his family, it is devastating. You know, one of the things that I thanked our church for a couple of weeks ago is that they allowed my family over the years, I'm so grateful for this, they've allowed my family to be imperfect. We have never heard criticism about how we raise our children, the way our children turned out, or whatever. Never were criticized about that. They gave us the freedom to be real people. And my girls, I have four daughters, they told me stories, you know. In fact, one of them was telling me some stories a couple of weeks ago. Dad, what you didn't know is during that time, I said, stop right there, I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to know what you were up to. But I'm so grateful to have had a church that is supportive in that way. And so the scripture says, don't receive an accusation. Sometimes gossip is couched in the form of a prayer request. You ever have that happen? Oh, pray for pastor, and then you proceed with the piece of gossip. We're trying to sanctify gossip by making a prayer request out of it. We don't do that. You know, our experience years ago, we were accused of shepherding. And what shepherding is when a pastor he exercises too much authority. There was a movement back in the 70s and 80s among charismatic churches. And a bunch of leaders were saying, well, pastors should be responsible for all of your decisions. So you don't go and buy a car without checking with your pastor first. Or you don't buy a house without your pastor's approval. And people, I'm like, who's got time for that anyway? But anyway, somebody accused me of doing this. And you know my personality. I'm this real lord it over you kind of guy, you know, and demanding and so on. And I couldn't believe it, the things they were saying about me. And it was very, very painful. And I remember a couple who now live in Florida. I was such a good pastor to them, they moved to Florida. But anyway, but I remember a couple standing up for us when someone came to them with an accusation. They just popped in to church a couple of weeks ago, and we got to have breakfast with them. But they were told just a flat-out lie about us. And he looked at that person, a person that he loved and respected, and said, I'm not going to listen to that about my pastor. I don't even want to hear your accusation against my pastor. And that's the way it should be. The scripture says it right here. Don't receive an accusation. Don't even listen to it. When people have a problem with a pastor, they should go directly to the pastor. In fact, we should do that with every member of the body. And so avoid gossip and things that, so make sure you're protective of them. And finally, sixth point is to be prayerful for them. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5. Brothers and sisters, he very simply says, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. Romans 15, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Pastors are a primary target of the enemy. If the enemy can get the pastor, he can affect the flock. In Matthew 26, Jesus told his disciples on the night he was betrayed, he quoted the prophet Zechariah. And in 26:31 of Matthew, Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." The enemy knows that if he can strike the shepherd, he can scatter the flock and let them be devoured by the wild animals. And so it's a very, very critical thing for us to pray for our pastor. Pastors need to be covered in prayer. I can't tell you how precious it is to have had over the years people that I know were praying for me. I know they're praying for me. And it's such an encouragement to pastors. So pastors have to be the focus of continual prayer. And so that's my simple admonition to you today. Be equipped by your pastors. Be respectful to them. Be faithful in following. Be generous to them. Be protective of them. And be prayerful for them. I believe the Lord is honored when the church does this. And as the pastor is healthy, he is free to move and to be led as the Holy Spirit leads him. It brings about a great health for the church as well. So these are just some gentle reminders for you today, some practical reminders. As I said to you, nothing profound. I was going to do 88 reasons why Pastor Rob is right about the rapture, but I didn't do that today. But I felt like I just wanted to give you some practical words to just make sure that you're doing what the scripture requires of you to do towards your pastor. I'd like to close in prayer, and what I'd like to do, could I have Pastor Rob and Jackie come on up and just stand in the front here? And I'm going to ask the rest of the congregation to stand, if you will. And we're going to bless them with these words that we've spoken. Pastor Wendy, come on up and pray for them. And I'm going to lead the congregation in prayer right now. And I'd really like for you to follow along with me as I pray. Just extend a hand toward them. And pray after me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pastors Rob and Jackie. And for their family. We choose to honor you, God. We choose to honor your word as we honor them. And we make a choice today, Lord, to be equipped by them, to receive what they provide for us. We make a choice today, Lord, to be respectful to them, to honor who they are in their position. We make a choice today, Lord, to be faithful followers of their leadership. We make a choice to be generous to them. We make a choice to be protective of them. And we make a choice to pray diligently for them. Lord, we bless our pastors. We pray that you'd provide for every need they have. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for their example. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word, and we bless our fellowship that follows here today. Bless the food. Thank you for those who have worked hard to prepare it. May our fellowship around the tables be good. And we again say thank you for Pastor Rob and Jackie for the sacrifices they have made for this flock. We bless them. We honor them today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you.